I'd like to call to order the April 25th meeting of the Architecture Committee of the Buick Array Commission. Could the director take a role to establish a quorum, please?
Sure. Rick Clifield?
I'm present.
Tony DiMaggio?
Present.
Stephen Bergeron?
Present.
Members are present.
Okay. So I'd just like to tell the audience that if you'd like to make a public comment, please fill out a public comment card in advance so we can call on you when it's time for public comment. We're going to start the meeting with old business and ask for the staff report for 1215 Dauphine Street.
1213 Governor Nichols is a blue-rated main building. This is a proposal to build two new two and a half-story buildings for application materials received June 29th, 2021 and March 29th, 2023. Following extensive committee and commission review from 2016 to 2018, staff issued a permit to construct two buildings on the 1215 Dauphine Key lot on March 2nd, 2018. This property was long associated with 913 Governor Nichols, and the properties were combined as part of the permitting process for new construction. Staff notes that the lots at 913 Governor Nichols and 1215 Dauphine were combined into one lot of record by the City Planning Commission in 2016 and finalized in 2019, so this is a settled matter that is not under review. As VCDC decisions expire after 12 months, a new permit application was required so that the proposed work could be reconsidered by the committee and commission prior to issuance of a new permit. On July 13th, 2021, the committee approved the previously submitted plans with the proviso that the current building code must be met and forwarded the application to the full commission. The following day, Safety and Permits returned the application for revision, noting that approvals from other agencies were needed. The VCC then deferred the application on August 5th, 2021 until all outstanding items involving other regulatory agencies were addressed and approved. As it took some significant time for the applicant to complete this process, the 2021 approval by the committee expired. The commission considered the new construction at their September 2022 meeting and moved for conceptual approval, but required the project to return to the committee so the architectural elements of the project could be evaluated under the design guidelines. The larger of the two proposed buildings is a 2.5-story structure containing three residential units and measuring 38 foot 11 to the top of the parapet. Its massing and typology were influenced by townhouses with attached service cells commonly found in the district. Due to the extreme visibility of all elevations, particularly from Cabrini Park and Barrack Street, it was designed to blend with the surrounding context, while millwork and gallery details were simplified to reflect its contemporary age. Parking spots were provided on site and inside the first floor, accessible from garage doors on the Governor Nichols elevation. Since last reviewed by the committee, the second floor gallery ironwork details have been further revised and developed and are similar to those approved by the committee at 501 Decatur, which has simple pipe columns on the upper floor to indicate that the gallery is historic. These details, particularly at the handrail, should be refined further, but may be handled at staff level if the committee finds them conceptually approvable. The roof slope at the ends of the gallery should also be slightly revised as previously discussed with the applicant, so the slope of the roof is not as apparent when viewed from side elevations. The rear building measures 37 foot 2 3/4 in height and is similar in form, massing, scale, and typology to a typical 2.5-story detached outbuilding and contains one unit. Both new buildings are CMU construction with stucco over galvanized metal lath. Also included in the scope of work is a new brick and iron Governor Nichols side fence with vehicular and pedestrian gates. Mechanical equipment will be screened with 7-board fences. Final revisions required by the Department of Safety and Permits have been cleared, and the zoning administrator determined that the proposed work was compliant with the minimum required open space ratio. However, additional documentation and analysis regarding the open space were submitted by a concerned neighbor on April 24th, 2023, which may bring the open space calculations provided by the applicant into question. Not enough time was provided for full review and consideration by staff. However, open space calculations and determination of compliance remains a matter for zoning and the Department of Safety and Permits, not VCC, but may be appealed to the Board of Zoning Appeals. If the current determination is rescinded based on new information, any revisions to the design would require additional VCC review, and previous decisions of the committee and commission could be reconsidered by those bodies if found necessary. Staff notes that it is the property owner slash applicant's responsibility to ensure their proposal is in compliance, and the VCC will not approve any work that is found to deviate from CCO requirements. The only remaining approval needed prior to permit is encroachments committee consideration of the gallery over the right-of-way on Dauphine Street. This gallery will not be considered a reconstruction, and all air rights compliance will be required by the Department of Property Management. With the exception of the gallery revisions noted above, the design of the buildings is largely unchanged since previous reviews. However, the use of decorative gas lanterns has been consistently denied by the committee under the design guidelines since this project was initially approved and permitted. So staff recommends that the fixtures on the Cabrini Park elevation of the building be eliminated and replaced with discrete utilitarian lighting that does not attract attention to itself. Staff recommends conceptual approval of the proposed new construction with revisions per the staff report and committee discussion. However, staff has consistently noted that no permits for this voluntary work will be issued until the violations in case 2106-340 DBN VCC, particularly the ongoing structural issues at the gallery of the Blue Rita building at 913, are addressed and corrected.
Thank you for that. We have an applicant present. I'd like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please.
Andrew Stevens with Williams Architects at 824 Brun Street.
And John Williams with Williams Architects.
Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
We appreciate the staff's diligence in working through this, and we've gotten all the approvals, as well noted by the staff, except for the encroachment committee that we're going to tomorrow. And look forward to, you know, getting this project moving forward. We understand at a late notice that there's been some consideration about the open spaces. Open space was reviewed by the city very recently and approved. And so we don't anticipate having, you know, anything that would determine that it's anything but compliant. And we really would appreciate us being able to finally move this project forward. And be happy to answer any questions if somebody brings something up that you feel like we could answer better than anybody in the room otherwise. And Mr. Stevens, do you have anything?
I also want to thank the staff for kind of going through the gallery detailing review that we did maybe about 3 weeks ago now. We worked to simplify the detailing at that particular location so that it reads more as a building, you know, built in and of its time with a, you know, more simplified approach to that primary facade off the dock main street.
And also noting that is the last time that this was, the permit was issued for this project, the way it's currently, the way it was currently designed, the details for the gallery were left to come back and work out with the staff. So now that hadn't been left up to the staff, it's for the architectural committee, but we're also happy to work anything out with the staff that you feel appropriate moving forward so that we can get this thing under construction.
Great, thank you. I'd just like to reiterate the staff's statement that this is a project which has been reviewed extensively and has been approved both in concept and also, in fact, by the this committee on a couple of occasions and the full commission on a previous occasion. So what we're doing here today is really going through the formality of reapproving it because of the statute of limitations on how long a commission approval lasts, which is 12 months. So we do have a number of comments, and so before I open this up to the committee, I'd love to hear from the people who came here to speak. So in no particular order, Donnie Rains.
Yeah. I'm Daniel Rains. I live next to the property. And I think the core issue here is the concept of, is it historically appropriate to build an apartment complex for the rear of this cottage? You know, these two lots existed separately, then they were recombined because it's a cottage with an accessory lot. And if it's a cottage with an accessory lot, that would have maybe a dependency on it. It's never had a structure larger than a shed in the back. And this proposal has been debated for years because of the core concern about the appropriateness, historical appropriateness of building a large apartment complex on the back of the structure. This apartment complex borrows open space from the front yard of the cottage, and so that's why it's combined. Now, the last time this was actually approved in 2018, that was not unanimous. There was one architect that's on this committee today that voted against it. So if they maintain their vote and the other two committee members that have not voted on this project feel that it's not historically appropriate to build a larger apartment complex to the rear of this cottage, that's not a dependency of the cottage, then they should certainly vote based on what they feel. Committees change all the time with different members and different opinions. And if the same committee member that voted against it votes against it today, and the other two committee members that have not voted have their own opinions about whether it's historically appropriate or not, then we'll have a fair ruling. Thank you.
Thank you. Next would be Erin Holmes.
Afternoon. My name is Erin Holmes. I'm the executive director of EC Cora. There still seems to be a lot of numerous outstanding issues with the new construction. It seems like the open space ratio is still being called into question. There's a discrepancy that's not been resolved as of yet. The encroachment review has not been completed. The ongoing structural issues with the blue-rated building on Governor Nichols have not been addressed. And there has been a consistent, years-long objection from the most adjacent residences as to the appropriateness of the new construction size within this portion of the residential area of the French Quarter. So for these reasons, we ask that you defer the application until all stated issues have been sufficiently resolved.
Thank you for those comments. Next will be John Reed.
John Reed, 1218 Burgundy, my property, about just this property. We learn as property owners in the French Quarter to respect our surroundings and the buildings that we live in and that surround us. This proposal does nothing but disrespect a blue-rated building, one of the most historic privately owned buildings in the French Quarter. This has been under consideration for a long time, I understand that. But, time passes and enlightenment comes. And enlightenment suggests that a building that is animated by nothing more than how to squeeze in the maximum number of dwellings in the smallest space that it's got there, and as many cars along the way, is not an animating force that should drive development in the French Quarter, or that this committee or that the commission should approve. It's time to re-examine what has been from the beginning an ill-conceived venture that is only possible because of a joinder of two lots, and that really defeats the goal of the Tooth Ensemble of the French Quarter.
Thank you. Next, Drew Hoyle.
That's for Charter Street.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then we'll move on to Mike Berkeley. Is that correct?
Hi. My name is Mike Berkeley, and I live at 1226 Bolpine. I live next to the giant condo that hasn't sold in 3 or 4 years. And my fear is that we're going to become the block known as all new construction. We have that giant complex across the street from us, and it's not going to have the historical feel for which we came to the quarter for. It's going to be all new construction on that one block in entire quarter. And it's gigantic. Just like the condos next door to me, it's gigantic. That's it.
Thank you. So we've heard from the applicant. We've heard from several neighbors. This is, in my mind, one of two things. It's either an endorsement of previous approvals, or if the committee wishes to, they can re-examine this, simply because it is up for renewal. As noted, this has been a controversial project from the beginning, and so I'm looking forward to any comments the committee can make in response to the proposal, the state of the project right now, or any of the comments made by the audience. Questions? Comments?
I do think it's important to note that it's been a while since I've seen this. I believe I was on the committee the last time it came around. But it hasn't been that long, especially in regard to past approvals and their expiration date. I don't believe the guidelines have changed since the last approval. And having gone so closely, so in the near future or the near past to the full commission, sounds like it's only returning here as a matter of due diligence to ensure that the detailing is in conformance with the guidelines and appropriate for a new construction building after they're okay on a conceptual level. So I do think for myself that that matters in terms of, you know, assessing this and whether or not it's a project that really has any viability going back to the drawing board or reassessing, you know, all the past approvals that have been made.
I'm sorry, can you say that?
Oh, yeah.
Just the last little bit.
Oh, just those points for me, you know, I do think weigh on sort of this idea of, you know, going back to the drawing board on the, you know, the entire project as it is. I do think that all of those discussions and approvals that have happened in the not far past, when all the codes and the guidelines have not changed, means something in this case.
Thank you. Any other comments from the committee?
Yeah, I would just say that I'm rarely opposed to second-guessing myself or even prior committees, but I think what Tony has outlined is important, that we've reviewed this recently and found it to be appropriate, and it seems to meet the guidelines, and I think we as a committee and as a commission have an interest in being predictable, so that folks who are proposing to do work know that we're not going to let them go this far down the road with the design and then have us take that back. So I think probably a prior committee has already discussed this at an early stage and determined that this met the guidelines, and I just don't see any real major reason or change that would make me want to question that.
Yeah. And I feel that one of the reasons that it returned to us is because there were several other agencies at the city level that had to be applied to and approved at, and it came back to us because along the line those approvals might directly affect the architectural form and detailing and characteristic of this building. And obviously, you know, at the end of the day, what's being built has to, you know, meet the guidelines or come before us for approval, if that is not the case. And so it looks like very little, I mean, actually, it looks like nothing has actually been changed by those. It sounds like the staff report said that the only thing that's different is that they've worked with you in the meantime to revise the, you know, develop the design of the guardrail. So
it was the rail. So the last time it was reviewed, there was still some hashing out of the gallery ironwork that the committee wanted to see done. But this was also tied to the work on the main building at the time, and it had been in review for almost 2 years. So it was decided that the permits would be issued, it would be allowed to start, and that further committee review would be required of the gallery before those elements were given final approval. Because it went along, it expired, that had not yet been done. So we have now, at this point, between the last time it was reviewed and now, gone over some of those elements to kind of try to improve those so that you can now make sure that y'all are okay with it. I still have a couple of slight recommendations based on this latest set, but I think that that's something that we can probably handle at staff level if y'all are generally comfortable with it.
Yeah, no, I personally agree with all of the approvals. I think they're excellent staff report approvals, so I was going to back those, including the gas lanterns, not, you know, being appropriate.
Okay. For the applicant, would you like to say any words before we move to a motion in this matter?
This design has been reviewed and approved by the State Historic Preservation Office. If there's some consolation for the folks that are feeling that it might be out of scale or something, that's not just the BCC. And that I think it's a very good infill project.
Thank you.
Thank you for your consideration.
Is there a motion in the matter of 1215-913, Governor Nichols?
I'd like to move for the conceptual approval of the proposed new construction with the the revisions per the staff report and final details to be finalized with the staff as well as the proviso of needing the violations addressed, as previously discussed, for the blue-rated building at 913 and corrected before a permit issuance.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. I'd like to remind members of the audience that any decision of this committee can be appealed to the full commission, and that you can be in touch with staff if you wish to make an appeal. Thank you all
for
coming today. The next matter is 909 Ursuline Avenue. Is there an applicant present? Could we have a staff report, please?
909 Ursuline is a green-rated main building with an unrated 1992 construction two-story rear addition. This is a proposal to modify landscaping, install new patio, fountains, and replacement fence and gates. Per application and materials received March 14th, 2023 and April 11th, 2023, respectively. The applicant has submitted preliminary drawings for a renovation of the extensive exterior space of this property as follows. The front property line wall, the existing masonry fence is proposed to be increased to match the existing pilaster height with stucco to be applied on all sides. A new wood and metal vehicular gate is proposed and a new pedestrian two-leaf gate is shown with decorative metal panels. Four new 22-inch Bevelo gas lanterns are shown on the street-facing side of the wall with two more on the courtyard side flanking the pedestrian gate. A conceptual sketch shows a decorative metal arch above the vehicular gate. The sidewalk side planter is shown lowered and minimized in size. Courtyards. Existing brick pavers will be replaced with flagstone paving, but it is not clear what size or pattern. Several planting beds will be added, and a new fountain is proposed at the center. The plan is geometric and in a very high style. New steps are proposed at the side entrance, flanked by large planters on plinths. Along the side of the house, heading towards the back of the site, a gravel walkway is flanked by two sets of large planters on plinths, leading to another high-style flagstone paved area with another large fountain. A raised patio measuring 9'6" by 25'11" is proposed adjacent to the three sets of double doors at the two-story rear addition. Another gravel walkway leads to the rear of the site, where an area is shown for a grill. Prior to the submittal of additional detailed drawings, including full existing and proposed plans, elevations, sections, etc., staff recommends that the courtyard plan be reconsidered to better match the overall style of the existing historic building, which is a simple bracketed shotgun. The design guidelines refer to shotguns as, quote, a highly efficient and comparatively inexpensive building type popular among both the middle and working classes for over a century. The chapter on site elements and courtyard states that the ECC requires a wall fence or gate to be compatible with the type and style of the main building, with similar notes for planters, paving materials, and other courtyard elements. The fountains, decorative gates, gas lanterns, large face planters on plinths, and general high style of the proposed landscaping are inconsistent with the grounded building type and would be more appropriate for a grandstone or masonry mansion rather than a wood-sided shotgun. Staff recommends deferral with a revised, simplified proposal to be submitted in response to comment and guidance from the committee.
Thank you. Applicants, would you like to state your name, address, and relationship to the property?
Renee Franson, landscape architect, 1026 Esplanade is my address, and the property we're looking at is 909 Ursuline.
Thank you. Are you going to speak? Will you speak today? Okay. Renee, do you have a presentation you'd like to share with the committee or response to the staff report?
We had sent it in. Is it something we were supposed to bring?
No. This is just, this is a conversation we're having about your proposal. The staff has made a couple of comments about the design that may challenge what you proposed. If you'd like to present something about your thinking or response to the staff report, this is the time to do
that. Oh, okay. The front fence is deteriorating because it's a soft red brick, so we wanted to protect it with stucco. And just it'd be simplified to be one height across instead of all these ups and downs, and in the greater height, because there is security issues, of course, in the French Quarter. So the simplification of just one height straight across. they used, I don't know if you can see on the auto gate, but there's like a U-shaped or L-shaped I-beam that is rusting out, so that's got to be replaced anyway because it's deteriorating. It might be a shotgun house, but it's not, the space is not, since there must have been another building here originally, it's, this has become more high style, this whole space. So we're trying to separate the cars somewhat from the rest of the courtyards to divide it up. So that's kind of our concept. And then the building that's newer in the back, we're trying to create a terrace so that it can become usable space back there. And the client has some urns, and so we were just trying to use those in the design. The actual entry door in the front has a landing. It doesn't have clips. It allows the shutters to open.
Thank you.
And then the barbecue pit, my client said he's not going to barbecue, so it's not going to be a permanent fixture. It's been eliminated.
Okay, thank you. Just a question for the staff before we open this up for further discussion. The house itself, it has no violations. It just went through a renovation, didn't it? Is it violation-free?
I didn't look it up the last time. There wasn't anything that kind of jumped out at me as an obvious one that would make me go down that road.
So we have a property owner here that is remaining in compliance. Mm-hmm. We have an owner here who is remaining in compliance with the general spirit of the your praise program. Okay. Committee, any questions for the applicant? I'm sorry.
We have the owner here. We should want to ask
I'm sorry. But anyway, any questions for the architect, landscape architect, before we go to public comment? I don't have any cards, but is there any public comment for the proposal for 909 Ursula? I don't see any public comment. Committee, any response to the staff report or to the design? If there is none, I'll say something. Okay,
yeah.
I'll start. You know, I appreciate the staff's kind of statement about an affinity between a building's beginning and how it's presented to both the street and how the property is developed. But all buildings have individual histories. And this building, which may have started out modest, has come to us with a large amount of land, which makes it extraordinary for the French Quarter. And I don't see any part of this garden necessarily in having a negative impact on the preservation of the house, which seems to be in very good condition. And so I have to question whether the standards actually impose some kind of limitation on imagination for gardens in relation to the style or presentation of the house. This would be for the staff.
Is that a question?
Yes, it is. Is there a standard-based reason why a modest house can't have a fancy garden?
I think it speaks, you know, it's in the report, just that the guidelines specify that the style of a garden should reflect the style of the building. And it was the staff's opinion that this building, being a double shotgun, and a beautiful one at that, is not necessarily considered high style, whereas the garden design, which is also beautiful, would be more appropriate for a more high style architecture.
Okay, you know, the mitigating circumstance here is that a modest house might be placed on a modest piece of property, and this house has acquired a large piece of property, which makes it something other than a standard modest house. And in fact, in the French Quarter, nothing is modest. It's all very nice. So anyway, committee, I'm digging my hole for myself.
I was feeling the same way you did, Rick, or the same way you do. I'm not sure. A property with this big a side yard, I feel like is perhaps asking for a nice side yard.
I love discussions like this so much because I was also, you know, my immediate thought was in line with the staff report, and then I was thinking exactly about the fact that this is a house that in its modesty would not have had such a huge side yard. It would have been the house next door on that side yard. And so having the side yard in and of itself kind of really does change the nature of what this house was in its history. And I do agree with the other architectural committee members in that regard. And my only thoughts really were kind of more than focusing on is the approach being taken for all the different elements, something that would be typical of the kind of courtyard or side yard in the French Quarter. So, you know, would stucco be typically used on this fence, or would the lanterns be in that location typically? And I think those don't necessarily align with historical employments along the street facade, but I don't think the materiality being suggested for the paving and within the design of the space itself needs to be tied to, you know, if you're thinking about a building that has beautifully decorative brackets because those brackets were able to be made from machines and it was more accessible to people who own shotgun houses and not just incredibly wealthy people, I think the same argument could be made for metal gates today, or the ability to, you know, get flagstone brought in and, you know, pave a larger amount of space sort of in line with that, honestly.
Okay, so I think we've addressed the kind of, perhaps we've addressed the larger context of the mash between the house and the design. Tony, you've begun to address some of the particulars of the design. Is there any other comment about the particulars of the design that we need to address during this meeting?
I guess I'll just restate what I think Tony said, which I think is that perhaps particular importance would be to design the gate and that front wall to be to match the house. If there's any part of this proposal that I think is important to match the character of the house, it would be that gate and the front wall.
Well, the front wall is deteriorating soft red bricks, so could we leave it the way it is, or do we let it fall apart? I mean, I've had to repoint my wall because it was deteriorating, so what's...
And I don't object to applying stucco to the face of the brick and repointing it.
And the creation of a uniform height across the front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Would you like to say anything else before we go to a motion?
Or no, just that when they added some brick on the top, it doesn't really match the... what was there, so that's another reason for the stucco, sort of to make it all simpler looking.
Right. And since we're talking about something that is counter to staff recommendation or the question that they raised in the report, would the staff like to say anything before we go to a motion?
I think there were a couple of things that still jump out at me as being, even if we are going in a direction that is more of that high style, I do still have some recommendations. Like the pedestrian gate is a double, you know, like a French door style gate, which I can't think of that happening anywhere else in the quarter. So, you know, just there's some things that I think we could continue to work on and develop.
It's a single.
It is a single? Okay.
It's a single.
Wait, what's wrong?
No, it's not double.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I have some, there's a couple of things I would like to see developed a little bit further. You know, it's obviously not construction document level yet. So there may be, I might have some recommendations kind of as we go along if, you know, but I, without having that kind of general answer of, are we going in this direction, are we going in a different direction, I didn't want to require that up front. So
yep.
I think we've still got a little bit more development to do.
And I think we need some commentary on the gas lanterns and whether or not they're appropriate in this location.
Right. Well, committee.
I was kind of, Aaron took what I tried to start saying and made it very applicable to the process and the review prior. And that's kind of one of those elements where I feel like maybe it's important to look at the Tudanzamo, the French Quarter, and were lanterns used in this way at this location typically, because I don't think that, you know, the approach to take a higher style materiality means that those materials should necessarily be used in a way that's incongruous. So I do think that, you know, that's my thought on the lanterns. I was concerned that was not typical for any precedents I could think of in the corridor.
Yeah, in fact, we've just been enforcing a more conservative approach to decorative lighting, where, you know, the guidelines specify that it should, you know, recognize a major entrance to the space, and then they should be minimized instead of being used as a decorative feature throughout.
Yeah.
And we're not saying no lights there. There are some great lights that can go there, as
right.
You know, that would look great on that wall.
Right.
And provide lighting, security, light, you know, all of those things. It just, the details need to be tweaked too.
Yeah. And I think that would go for many of the details. And
yes.
Staff brought up the front gates, the auto gate and the pedestrian gate. Again, I think that bringing the design a little bit more into line with the character of the house is an appropriate comment. It's just, I think what we're trying to do now is to measure exactly where that falls between wild fantasy and in absolute modesty.
Right.
And so as we discuss this, and kind of with the agreement of the applicant, I'd like to entertain a motion, but then perhaps have the motion direct the design to come back to us for another review before we go to construction drawings. Just because there are several elements here that could be considered within the context of our discussion today. So if there's no other comments, is there a motion in the matter of 909 Ursuline Street?
Yes, in the matter of 909 Ursuline, I move to conceptually approve the proposed work with final construction documents to return to committee for review and comment.
Thank you. Is there a motion? Tony?
May I ask for clarification on the conceptual approval versus a deferral in this instance?
Good question.
Well, yeah.
What did you ask?
I suppose
the difference between conceptual approval and deferral, if there's design questions. What?
Yeah, I mean, just in response to Rick's comment, you may want to consider a deferral with the opportunity for the designer to perhaps bring the design a bit more in keeping with the architecture, but not such that the staff are.
Okay.
So we're going to try again. Was there a motion in the matter of 909 Ursuline Street?
Yes, in the matter of 909 Ursuline, I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant an opportunity to revise the proposal based on today's discussion. That's it.
Thank you. That's pretty simple. Is there a second to that motion?
Yes, I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. We invite you to come back and talk to us again about the design.
Right. We didn't want to get too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we've given you some good direction today, and hopefully you'll be able to incorporate that into your design.
Is there a staff report?
It
was emailed out.
It's in your email.
Yeah.
It was emailed in.
Okay. So we'll move on to 340 Charter Street.
Hi.
Do we have an applicant present? We do. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 340 Charters was previously had a yellow-rated building that was demolished in 2021. The remainder of the property is a paved surface parking lot. This is a proposal to install new pavers, fence, gate, and lighting at the existing parking lot. Her application and materials received March 16th, 2023, and April 11th, 2023, respectively. In 2021, the committee reviewed and approved a plan to install new pavers and a fence surrounding the property in conjunction with the demolition of the yellow-rated building. The building has been demolished, and the applicant is now ready to proceed with the improvements to the parking lot. The application is very similar to the plans reviewed and approved in 2021, with some revisions to the spacing of the masonry piers and width of the pavilion gate. Only one type of light fixture is being proposed now to be installed on the adjacent masonry walls. It is not clear if all perimeter walls are owned by this property, so this should be clarified. As discussed previously, the fixtures exceed the typical size and lumen output allowed by the guidelines, but are dimmable from their maximum of 6,000 lumens. Staff notes that more consistent light throughout the site, including installations at the Conte and Charter site fence, is more important than a few brighter fixtures, so this may need to be studied further. At the committee's request, a detail showing the transition between permeable and impermeable pavers has been provided. The proposed pavers are now 5 inches by 10 inches, and samples will be reviewed by staff prior to final approval. Staff recommends approval of the gate, fence, pavers, and drainage, with the lighting to be deferred until mock-ups can be viewed in situ, as was discussed at the January 26, 2021 hearing.
Thank you. Applicant, would you like to state your name, address, and relationship to the property?
Kurt Whirling with Whirling Builders, 300 Dauphine Street, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report that you'd like to share with us?
Now, the only thing I would say, we talked about at one point maybe trying to put some low lights in the columns on the parking lot sign. But we've been out there several times at night, and the city lighting, the old black ones, they've changed all those light bulbs in those things. It drowns out any amount of light that we don't think, because of it being the orange fence, the pickets, that adding any electrical to that exterior fence and putting lights in there is going to benefit anything. I guess I could take nighttime pictures of it. I probably have them. I could email, but I just don't know the benefit to do that.
I don't know what we're requiring.
That
was something that was part of the previous proposal. So the last time it was reviewed, that is something that differs from that proposal. Right. And we had discussed it at the time. I would say, not to drag on the city too much, but we usually get the opposite comment that the public lights are out and haven't been replaced in years. So that might not be consistent. So
no, I get it. Yeah. That corner's not.
That corner's terrible, right, because of the Supreme Court building.
Exactly.
And because of Williams Research Center. Yeah.
Right.
So it's a very bright corner.
The proposal was at some point, John Bendernagel thought it would be a nice ambient type lighting for the people parking. As it turns out, it's going to get drowned out by whatever. And,
yeah.
And if you want it, I mean...
No, I think our point was that if that was something that you wanted to propose, we could work with you on that.
Right, right.
But not something that would require.
And how is it in the back corner? The back corner of that parking lot? You know, the corner
we've run lights.
Where you took down the building, you have more lights.
Yeah,
right.
if you look up there, Renee, there's the kind of dark black.
Got it.
Yeah,
splotches.
The dots around the edges are
okay.
Light.
Yeah, because that was a concern of my
bright.
Father, like vagrants jumping the fence and getting back there.
Yes, that was my other concern. Okay.
So, and those lights, yeah, they probably have your higher lumen as a picture, but they're dimmable. And they would go up and down. So you get some aero light and some downlight.
I think that we would want that to not do both ways.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it doesn't have to, right?
Just light that's pointed down.
Then that's fine. I mean, if they can go either way, they can do both. We didn't think that, like, the middle of the lot needed any of it. But we don't have a way to actually put lighting in the middle of the lot.
Yeah.
The pavers I have, I wasn't sure if they would let me through the door downstairs with them today. Permeable
staff can look at that.
Yeah.
That they said they have sold and used down this way in the French Quarter, not here in the French Quarter, even though it's a 5x10, because of driving surface, the 4x8s, they had problems with, so they increased it to a 5x10. I don't know enough about the paper other than speaking with page 10.
Okay.
So that's not acceptable. We have to talk about it. But I can bring, or if you tell me to bring.
We'll work with the staff.
Yeah.
Okay. You can direct yourself back towards the committee right now, because that's why we're here. So if is there any comment? We don't have a comment card, but is there any comment on this from the audience? No comment. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
Excuse me.
We're asking for questions
or comments.
Well, I was
going to give you information. It may be helpful, Rick. But
just maybe that somebody will ask you that question, and I'll give you a chance to speak after the committee speaks, okay? So, committee, please.
I was going to ask, do you have a response to the staff report question about the lights you're proposing on the walls of the adjacent buildings, and whether or not they're your buildings?
Per surveys that we have, everybody's got well, two of the four walls are party walls. I do know that. One of the walls is Mercier's wall. So that's three of the four. I don't know about the fourth wall.
And you only have lights on two of them. Are both of those party walls or both?
We have lights on four walls.
Okay, you do have them.
Or three walls, actually.
Okay.
The right-hand side of the drawing to the downside, that is Mercier's wall. The above wall on the survey shows us a party wall, the higher wall. The short wall that is perpendicular to Charter's, I don't have a true answer for that. We have lights already on that wall. They've been on that wall for 60 years. So, and in fact, our electrical service is on that wall. So I would venture to say that it's got to be, I don't know. It's been.
Who knows?
I mean, I could look at a survey and say, I know that those lights have been there my entire life.
So any other questions for the applicant or for the staff?
Do you have a good working relationship with the neighbors on those two sides?
Certainly the corner building that I'm not sure about the wall and the hotel. All the way down the hotel, no problem with them.
Okay.
And that's where our work is really concentrated too. So when the fence goes against the hotel or against that grayish colored building, yes. And in fact, the hotel people call me often enough to ask me if they can get on the property because they're trying to do something for themselves, and we just go on there just fine.
Great.
It's an investment group out of Austin or Virginia.
Any other questions or comments?
The only comment I have is where the existing lights are. Thank you for pointing out your electrical services on that as well. I think that helps me. But where the existing lights are, the replacement of those with newer lights makes sense. I'm still concerned about just the placement of lights on the long facade at the back on the wall itself versus a post. I think if there ends up being no issues, it's kind of weird, but at the same time, not a huge issue. But if it were, I know there's been a lot of back and forth over party walls and how that works when there's no building on each side. So I know that's outside of our scope. I just wanted to bring it up since it's come up before. But otherwise, I'm in alignment with the staff report, so I think that we have a chance to discuss further.
Great. Now, would you like to make any final statements before we?
No.
Okay, you're good. Anything from the staff before we go to motion? Is there a motion in the matter of 340 Charter Street?
Yes, I'd like to move for approval of the gate, fence, pavers, and drainage with final details worked out at the staff level and deferral on the lighting until mock-ups can be on site and a little bit more of a finalization and development of what's being proposed is made.
Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second
that. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. You have approval of the staff review for the majority of the work and a mock-up for the lighting.
Good question. How will we do a mock-up? We don't have power over there.
We'll work with you on that. It's mostly just for location.
Okay. Yeah, I think John made sure he got in between the hotel windows and all so that we don't That's actually a corridor for them. So, but we don't have, I don't have power there to give you. Fine.
Just get in touch with us at staff. Yeah.
So yeah, that's fine. Aaron still.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. We'll move on to 912 Royal Street. Is there an applicant present for this proposal? Do you have an applicant present? Do you have a staff report, please?
Sure. 910 and 912 Royal Street is a blue-rated main building with a green-rated carriage house. There's a proposal to renovate the courtyard, including the construction of a new arbor structure. Application materials received April 10, 2023. The applicant proposes to renovate the courtyard, including rearranging or removing planting areas and constructing a new metal arbor. The applicant notes that this is currently a conceptual plan only, and additional material, including courtyard paving and changes to one building opening, will be submitted at a later date. The proposed arbor structure is shown at the St. Philip side of the property, located between two enlarged planters. The applicant notes the arbor will be constructed from metal and is shown in elevation of being 10 feet 6 inches tall at the peak of the arch top and a total of 25 feet wide. There are existing planters along this wall, but the plan shows them as being significantly enlarged. The new planters are shown being held off of the masonry wall of the adjacent building, with a note to have gravel infill between the new planters in this location. Regarding outdoor furnishing, including garden features, the guidelines recommend minimizing the amount of large-scale and mounted outdoor furnishings on a site and does not recommend mounting a planter on a wall as it can damage masonry. Staff appreciates the air gap proposed between the planters and masonry wall of the adjacent building, and staff's only real concern with the overall concept is the proximity of the arbor structure to this wall and the potential for foliage to grow on or in very close proximity to the wall. Staff questions if a similar space would be left between the arbor and the wall, and what the plan is to manage future foliage growing on the arbor from growing on or creating potential damaging conditions for the neighboring building. Staff's only other question is if the existing courtyard and garden layout holds any historic significance. The proposal includes the elimination or size reduction of several of the existing planter areas. Staff was unable to look at any photos of the courtyard earlier than 1982, although the 1982 photographs do show things in their current arrangement. Without documentation showing significance to the existing layout, staff finds the proposed modifications to the courtyard conceptual approval and recommends that the applicant continues to develop the proposal for additional architectural committee review.
Thank you. Mr. Cangelosi, would you like to state your name, address, and relationship to the property, please?
Robert Cangelosi, 1100 Jackson Avenue. I'm the architect for the project. As was stated, this is a very preliminary review. In fact, we filed under a paint application to be able to get you to review it without going through one safety and permits up in that. Wanted to get your feeling on just the layout of this courtyard. The details are very hodgepodge in there. The curbing for a lot of the parterre gardens is some of it is a thick flagstone, some of it is brick, but laid in non-traditional manner where it's almost like a header course there. There is a fountain in there, cast iron fountain, which we're not touching or relocating. Sam Wilson wrote it one time. This was a 19th century fountain. It appears to have that sort of age. The configuration doesn't make a whole lot of sense if that was, in fact, the carriage house back there, which I believe Thomas Sully designed. Currently, the grading is horrible. It slopes back to the site, and there's a lake which develops in the rear portion of the lot. We would have to regrade everything, and there's also a variety of different stones. There are some violet flagstones. There is this Pennsylvania blue that you see in the driveway here. There's some broken flagstones. But based on your approval of this, we would then develop further details for grading, for which stones would be located in what location, whether it be changing any stones, and so forth. There was a planter along that wall right there, which we were allowed to take down. It was an elevated planter with large palmetto trees in it, which was very damaging that wall a great deal. And that wall does have a good bit of damage to it. Someone's tried doing some repairs to it. In fact, I brought your inspector over there to show the quality of the repairs going on there. The arbor is an attempt to kind of break up some of that wall in there. The client originally wanted a freestanding arbor in which they would be serving liquor out of, but the staff informed us very quickly and appropriately that that was inappropriate, not permitted by the zoning in that. So this is a scaled-down version to kind of give some green relief to that wall. We'll give a little bit of elevation is the reason the client wants that arbor on that wall. It would be not attached to the wall, and the intent was that the vegetation be removed from the wall, just as we've taken the planter away from the wall there.
Thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal? If you have none, I can always start.
I don't know what that other circle was for. There's just big rocks in it right now. I don't know if that was a garden or what was in there at some point in time. We are maintaining most of the trees which are in the, well, we removed the palmetto trees, but we have maintained the other trees on the site.
Robbie, forgive me if you already said this. Will you be reusing the stone?
Oh, yes.
Yes,
definitely.
I thought so.
Definitely reusing the stone.
I thought so. Okay.
Yes. Probably not the broken up stone that's like these two broken quarry tile.
Got it.
But the whole stones in there in a traditional manner. And my intention is to use the curving for the parterre to be a stone set in like it would normally be, not these bricks like a header course or these very thick flagstones that are in there. A very traditional way of handling the details.
So, again, forgive me if I'm not reading your drawings well, but this arbor will be, can we look at the site plan, a site plan? There's a center line shown through that circle, so the arbor would be located between those two planting beds?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have any impression of how this will be viewed from the street? In other words, we have a high wall there, we have a gate, it's kind of, we'll be looking at the side of this arbor from the gate, which is, I guess, the view corridor for this garden.
Yes, the gate is on, and you can see through it now. People stop all the time to take pictures in through there now. It's very attractive to tourists and so forth from there. So you'll basically be seeing the side of the arbor there.
I think it would be good to have some kind of, you know, representation of what that might look like. Okay. It is a pretty
large... We definitely have to detail all of that.
Yeah, spatial
change. With that. I believe Renee Franson would probably be the landscape architect for the project to do the soft materials in it, what the owners told me.
Okay. Okay, so I don't see any public comment, but is there any public comment in the matter of 912 Royal Street? No public comment. Committee, any questions, final follow-up questions for the applicant or for the staff?
No, I appreciate that y'all just discussed this kind of like view corridor, because my only thought to it was by like bumping out the arbor from that wall, you're sort of concealing somewhat the Sully, potential Sully carriage house in the back and for a blue rated building, whether or not that is detrimental to the view of that building, or if it, you know, creates a nice sense of curiosity being at the end of, you know, the garden would be something that I think is worth seeing.
Well, the Sully carriage house is removed from that lawn. There's a stairs that comes down there. There's an alley alongside of it, so that arbor would not prohibit the view to the carriage house itself.
Okay, that's not part of the carriage house.
Excuse me?
That's not part of the carriage house, is what you're saying.
You can see there's a gate right there alongside the carriage house.
Yeah.
The arbor would be, you know, if anything, it might block that gate view there, but there's about 4 feet between that property line where the arbor would be off of and the carriage house itself, so the view would not be prohibited at all.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I did think that that was part of the carriage house because it was...
No. That is just
it's a
wall
family.
With a gate in it, and there's, I don't know who approved it, but there is a wooden stairs, very nasty, coming off the side, which was, I'm assuming, a fire exit at some point in time back there. It's unpainted, rough pine wood.
Very nasty. Okay.
I have seen that. It
isn't
gray.
We invited Renee to the site to look at everything there so she could see what was going on.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to add before we go to a motion? Committee, is there a motion in the matter of 912 Royal Street?
Yes, in the matter of 912 Royal, noting that we've had a lovely discussion today about the proposal, I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant to further develop the proposal for us to review at another time.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
Seconded.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. I think that really, for me, seeing how that arbor has an impact on the views into the garden is probably the most important thing in this review. And then maybe something about the materiality of the arbor would be good to communicate in the next round.
The intention was to be metal, and the client wanted to kind of relate to the gate at the street, but I don't know how that can really work.
That's
my problem.
It's in able hands. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Robin,
appreciate
keep in mind that it's going to have to go through a safety permit, so we're going to need it as a different application.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah. I was just trying to get some feet whether y'all decided that parterre garden was sacred and couldn't be touched. It's really what I was trying to find out today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Robbie.
Thank you so
appreciate
much. Next item is 921 Charter Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Can we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 921 Charter is a green-rated main building with an orange-rated extreme rear building. This is a proposal to install synthetic decking on a front street-facing gallery. Application materials received April 11, 2023. This property was previously reviewed in 2019 for synthetic decking when staff found that existing wood decking had been removed from elevated walkways on an orange-rated construction connecting rear structures on the property. The synthetic decking that was being installed was found to not be acceptable. But the committee found that the installation of Aratus decking in that location would be approvable as the conditions met all the criteria followed for synthetic decking installations. The applicant is now proposing to install Aratus decking on the street-facing gallery. This area consists of three different condos. The applicant noted that the existing wood decking for only one of the condos is currently damaged. The current proposal is to remove all the existing wood decking from the entire gallery, rearrange and add the sleepers, and install synthetic decking. Staff finds the proposal for synthetic decking in this location not approvable for the standards that have been established. This gallery is covered and should be decently protected from rain. The existing purlin arrangement would need to be significantly changed. Not all the existing decking is damaged and in need of full replacement, and this is a green-rated building. Staff recommends denial of the proposed use of synthetic decking and recommends that the applicant replace only the damaged areas of the gallery with matching wood decking.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name, address, and relationship to the property?
So my name is Drew Boyle. My address is 4302 Fountain View Drive. And this property is at 921 Charter Street.
Do you have a presentation or a response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
So the presentation that I had planned was this set of shop drawings. It was, we were just curious if it would be approvable or appropriate to use the synthetic material in the front. I did do a little case study and reviewed the guidelines, and I put a little reference there. And then I also I did a section view of what the stringer requirements would be if that change was made. And you could see it would add a couple extra stringers underneath. The question, and I guess the purpose for me going to this level of detailing is that, as I walk around the French Quarter, I do see the use of synthetic decking in a couple areas, and I was kind of taking note of just some of the other changes that they would do when they added it, like adding stringers or like another, higher safety rail or something. So. You've answered my question, though, whether or not it would be approvable. So now, I guess the only other question I have is if the rest of the repair work would be something that would be approved today or at a staff level, and if there was any other details.
Yeah, I think everything else was staff level, so it was just a matter of the synthetic depth.
Yeah, that was the big question. And, I hadn't seen anything in the handbook. But if we did get to do it, that's kind of what it would end up looking like. And there, it brings up another, I think, question of mine is, at what point does the synthetic material in the French Quarter end? Because when we looked at as I got up on the ladder and checked this whole thing out, we have like some cement board used as, pieces of trim, and then the back of the house has got, synthetic boards that are painted. So I think.
So you're throwing your property under the bus.
Yeah. No, we knew about the rear. The rear was all in violation. We busted them.
Right.
So we knew about that.
It's all public access on the
rear
too. So,
so what we're really talking about today is the synthetic decking. And I think everything else, as far as we can tell, could be handled at the staff level. They haven't brought it to our attention. So let's keep the discussion to the front gallery. Okay. Are you finished with your presentation?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Staff, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
I don't. I feel like we've especially had a lot of discussions regarding green-rated buildings with coverings because, you know, we think it's important to kind of approach things consistently unless there's a truly overarching reason why it should be an exception to the rules, and I kind of think this fits right in the wheelhouse of being within the rules. So yeah, I agree with the staff report, I think, and the addition of basically doubling the purlins is always something I'm going to get a little worried about. It sounds like you noted the staff report, so I'm just saying that as a matter of record.
Any other comments? Before I turn the floor back over to you for final comments, I'd just like to say that the drawings that you presented here are very coherent and easy to follow, and I really appreciate that. They're graphically sound and very well communicate your concept. So thank you for the presentation. Would you like to make any comments before we go to a motion on this matter?
No.
Okay. Anyway, so is there a motion in the matter of 921 Charter Street?
I'd like to move to deny the proposed use of synthetic decking with a recommendation in the staff report that the applicant replace only the damaged areas of the gallery with matching wood decking.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. You have the right to appeal this to the full commission. Just work with the staff if you choose to do that.
Okay.
Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. We'll move on to appeals and violations. We only have one item under that topic, and it is 1008 Dauphine Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Can we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 1008 Dauphine is a green-rated main building and kitchen with brown-rated connecting structure and rear addition. This is a review of mock-up for front elevation millwork in conjunction with the ongoing renovation. Per application materials received December 8, 2020 and April 13, 2023, respectively. Following the last committee review on March 28th, the applicant installed mock-ups of both the freeze band at the windows and the trim at the window lintels. Staff found the mock-ups informative, but notes that they were not completed for the most recently submitted drawings, but those reviewed on January 24th that were found to be incorrect when compared with photos of the previous conditions. When last reviewed, the applicant had pivoted to proposing a stepped lower band instead of a molded profile, which staff found interesting since it would be an adaptation of the previous conditions rather than an inaccurate attempt at replicating the historic condition, but that is not what was built. If the applicant is seeking to replicate the historic condition, the size and proportion of the upper band seem to be fairly accurate, but the profile of the bottom band should not be the same as the upper. The previous photos were clear that these were two differing profiles. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding further recommendations for correcting the work.
Thank you. Just as a point of clarification, I think it shows in the photographs, this roof slopes directly onto a gutter, which travels across the front of the building.
Yeah, to a downspout.
Okay.
On the right side.
You know, I came out to look at your mock-up, and I kind of looked at many other buildings which could serve as an example for the restoration of this millwork. And the thing that I found in looking at those kind of intact historic examples is that there's oftentimes an integration between the shape and placement of the gutter and the entablature that's constructed below it. And I'm just wondering, this is more a question for the staff, I don't know quite where our point of departure for this, you know, where a violation began, where historic material was removed, but I think we're in kind of a very uncomfortable middle ground between addressing a violation and actually doing work that would restore something that had been changed perhaps prior to this time. So do we have a photograph of where it was when we started?
Yes. So, and just to clarify too, the mock-up
for the freeze windows is what was circled in red, not what is actually up by the freeze right now. What is by the freeze right now is the work that we applied the stop work order to you. So this is the previous condition. The gutter was not integrated, and
it is not
much simpler in profile than a lot of comparable freeze banding that I've seen when I've looked at other proposals. You know, I've seen a lot of dental work, and like you said, that kind of box, you know, that integrated gutter.
Mm-hmm.
This one's very different.
And from Renee, from a architecture historian point of view, is this an anomaly? Was this just a building that lost something, or is it something that was always constructed this way? I'm finding this to be so far outside the pattern.
It's different. Yeah, it's
very
different than the other ones.
It's different, but I couldn't find anything that indicated it wasn't original.
No, I agree with you. Looking back and going over this with you so many times.
They have pictures on the BCC's website, I think, of the property to the left, and it has that property, you know, on an angle that you can see, and it's like 1920s picture showing that exact profile.
Okay, I'm sorry. In terms of manners, I neglected to ask you to state your name and address in relationship to the property. So just could you do that before we continue?
Joey Carlson, architect, 44 Chateau Tridon, Cannon, Louisiana.
Okay, and?
Yeah, Colin Tilloy, project manager, Garrison Builders, 1222 Annunciation.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm sorry I neglected to do that. So we have a situation where we may not have a typical condition to work with. Committee, any questions for the applicant? Nothing to say.
So was y'all's intent to do the mock-up of the original seminal or the one that we reviewed last time?
The one we reviewed.
Okay.
Yeah.
The one we just reviewed had the square step down rather than that profile, and that was I think I found that one to be more interesting simply because it wasn't trying to replicate something that we're kind of coming to after the fact based on just some photos.
No, understood. And to be honest, I didn't really know until I read the report. But, like, we're pretty much done with this project interior-wise, and it's kind of been on hold for a couple of months, and we're open to build and make this look however we need to. And we're understanding of that. We're doing whatever we can to try to knock it up as best we can, and you know, we've gone to a consultant who specializes in this and does a lot of work with you guys.
Is the window and door trim on the first and second floor acceptable?
It's close enough that I'm comfortable with it, but I'd like to see what the committee says.
Committee. Where I make a fool of myself even more. So maybe I could just ask one more question. So the mock-up, I'm trying, even having trouble finding a picture of the mock-up here. Is it represented in the drawings? Is the thing that you constructed as a mock-up, is it the same as the drawings that are presented as part of this packet?
I think that's right.
The first submittal, yes, not the most recent one. The first submittal we rejected, saying that the bottom band was clearly off. The second one was where we start to get that kind of abstracted step-down version, which I think we all thought was the more interesting. But when the mock-up was done, it was done as a mock-up of the earlier proposal, not the secondary one. Now, Joey, tell me if I'm wrong, but the top band is the same in both, right? So looking at the top band, that's kind of no matter what you were proposing, it's the bottom band that starts to be different.
It's like the coat. I don't know the exact name of the profile on the bottom band.
Yeah.
I'll just call it the cove. But that, the cove versus the little, I think, 2.5-inch applied molding, that those are the main differences between the two.
Committee? Anything on your minds?
I mean, we just modified the model and look at it based off of the latest drawing that we were supposed to come up
with. Yeah, I would like to see, or I think we were all kind of leaning towards the more streamlined interpretation, so I still feel that that is probably more appropriate in my mind.
With the step molding? Is that
what? Yeah, the more streamlined one. Yes, definitely. So that's just me though, so it's not a final word until everyone's done talking.
If there's any way that we can get everything approved except the bottom molding, so that way they can put everything up, and then with the accept, and then when the bottom molding's about to be installed, go and put a portion of it up, and then have y'all look at it and see if that works, and if it doesn't work.
Can I ask stupid question? The scoring that is on the building now in the area of the entablature, was that part of the work that you just performed?
Yeah, that was part of the original submission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that is.
But it matches what was there.
Yeah.
But up at the top,
it wouldn't have been there.
There.
I think what I'm trying to do is figure out what's what, and the idea that there's scoring here might suggest something that now we know
it's not historic. It was all removed.
Yeah, they just scored everything.
they went all the way up with it instead of stopping and then doing the millwork.
Okay. We do have a public comment. Nikki Slinsky.
I was wondering if any historical research had been done as far as the tracing the title and the property records back to see if there's a building contract. Because I agree with Commissioner Byfield that it looks like there was an integrated gutter up there at one point. But I happen to know that the Matassa family owned this building for a lot of time. So they may have, just kind of done it on the cheap because it was all rentals. The scoring makes zero sense. It seems very, very random and not planned out at all. When you compare it to other buildings that are scored, there doesn't seem to be... the lines don't seem to correspond to the apertures in any way that you see on buildings that have historical scoring. So I wonder if that had been completely copied down to dimensions and locations of the lines. But yeah, I agree with Byfield that the front of the building looks awful. And was there maybe a integrated gutter or a stucco section that fell off and it was cheaper to replace it with wood? So anyway.
Thank you. Committee, any further questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
I have a comment, I guess, maybe just for the record, since we're talking about the scoring, looking at the old photo on slide 142 and note that in the replastering, we have lost some decorative keystone plaster.
Yeah, the cartouches above the...
That's been noted.
We talked about that, and that's been included in the most recent round of drawings.
And the way the lines were translated into the front of the building was on the side of the building. The original lines were still there, so those were followed and carried through onto the front.
Got it.
Just like back to the gutter at the front too. I've gone through approval. I went through the whole union copper and all that. So that's kind of been approved for us to put that separate, not integrated gutter back as far as the plans go.
Well, so, yeah. I mean, what we're really trying to do is understand where this building was and where it's going, because this detail, the question is, should it be integrated or not? And my initial response to this was entirely different based on the discussion today. We have one additional public comment from John McNeil. Mr. McNeil?
Yes.
Would you like to speak?
Yeah, I have a comment. I live across the street, from 11, and it's much improved. I have a couple of concerns or comments. I'm worried about the attachment of the wood to the masonry. Is it? I don't know how. To me, it looks like they just liquid nailed it on, and to me, that's not going to last very long.
It's just for the mock-up, which needs to be taken down.
Yeah, but I mean, the previous ones that they thought were going to stay there were glued on and just some masonry nails, and that seems like it's not going to be there very long. And to the comment, to the previous comment, was the joints are, I don't know if they're, you know, they're just not horizontal, you know, and they're, but the building is not horizontal, so maybe that's the problem. But the windows, the lines are McNopolis, you know.
Okay.
But anyway, that's my big concern, is that coming off, but it does, it's such an improvement from what it was before.
Thank you for coming in today and for your comments. Committee, any final comments before we turn it over to the applicant for their final comments?
Looked at the window, the window item. Do we need to look at that?
Sure, let's look at that. What is the other item that we're looking at?
The profile.
It was just the window lintel mock-up and the frieze okay. Mock-up. But I will note that those frieze windows in front still have to be fixed because the jam is not right, and that was noted on the shop drawings and in previous reports, and still needs to be done.
Yeah, I think it's different because of the way the wood is finished. It terminates into the sash of the frame of the window, so it makes the reveal in the frame a lot less narrow.
I think it's that the actual sash and the reveal. I think it was embedded, but I think that if you were to do that, then it would be smaller than it is now. It would be like a, you know, Russian nesting doll. So it's not the same as at the back, and that needs to be looked at further.
Right. And what I think, in to kind of follow up on John McNeil's comment, when we look at your detail for the header on the second floor, it shows the material recessed into the plaster, into the stucco finish. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the tells for this is going to be the way this frieze band is actually attached to the building, and whether it's actually bedded in or attached to the surface. Mm-hmm. And so right now we're seeing relatively thin wood with a bunch of thin millwork, and I'm concerned. I mean, we say 3/4-inch furniture grade exterior plywood cut to fit around windows. You know, I'm not certain that that's actually a good material to use in this location. I mean, I think dimensional lumber is something of dimension rather than dimensional lumber that's just applied is probably a more accurate detailing method here.
Dimensional lumber,
I mean,
and then bondoing all the seams to get it to look seamless? Or?
I'm not going to say bondo it to make the seams go away. This is a problem for a good detailer that knows how to do historic millwork. But the use of 3/4-inch furniture grade exterior plywood, I just don't know if it's going to carry the day in terms of believability, because what we're trying to do here is create a detail at the top of this building which has some integrity. And I think even if we get the proportions of parts right, the materiality isn't correct, or if it's not attached to the building adequately, it's not going to work as a visual detail.
It just looked like plywood in one of the older pictures that we're kind of trying to go off of, just thinner.
Plywood where?
I'm looking at slide 150. okay. in between the windows. I imagine it's a pretty tall dimension. I'm not sure what it is, but it's probably a little taller than
that's plywood.
What you can get dimensional lumber in.
It seems like it was plywood and it was a replacement for something else.
You're talking about this wood right here.
Yeah.
So things that we can note in slide 150 is that there are vertical joints that have been addressed with craftsmanship, and that the openings aren't cut around the windows. They're actually pieced together. And so this is another just example of careful detailing that's actually necessary to make a presentation work visually. I'm not prepared to answer that question of dimensionality of this lumber, but I think that my comment should stand in terms of actually reviewing how this detail is attached in the materiality of it to make it appropriate for this this building. I don't think that you have it yet, frankly, and the tell for me is in the details, in the way the details are being applied. So committee, I don't get a vote in this, y'all do. So would you like to make a final statement before we go to a motion?
Yeah, I'm so confused. I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm confused. No idea how to move forward from here. We spent a lot of time over the course of this project. Trying to do the right thing. Get it done properly.
Thank you. Is that all?
Yeah, it's just some guidance.
Yes. So I think that we're giving you good guidance here, and hopefully a motion will help you even more. Committee.
Before.
Okay, one more comment from the audience. Yes.
Can I make a comment?
Please.
I know you guys don't like synthetic things, but this is like the perfect application for synthetic. If that's not accessible, I mean, what I've been thinking, if you saw in Greglet, you have a drip edge on there that would stop the water from getting behind it. And my concern is that it's just going to fall off.
Yep. And there's nothing like that shown in the detailing of this entablature. So, committee, a motion in the matter of 10-08, whatever.
Dauphine. Before we go to a motion, I just want to, I guess, clarify with you, Rick, that your comment, which I think seems valid, the original condition may have been, or it looks like it was, that the wood was applied to the masonry and then the plaster was butted up to the wood trim at both of these locations. So is what we're asking for them to remove, to chip out the plaster, to install a thicker piece of material, trim, and then to patch in the plaster to butt up to that?
And that's why we asked the earlier question about where this started as an existing condition and where the violation happened. And it's I think we kind of have a little bit better idea about where that is, but I think since we're reproducing something here that has been removed from the building, we need to reproduce it with the integrity that will allow it to endure and to present the building as it should be presented. And if this thing starts to peel off, you know, after a year because water's getting behind the detail, we haven't done our job in review. So I think we have, the first question that we were addressing was proportion and arrangement of parts. And now we've also begun talking about the materiality and actual construction of the detail. And I would have to agree with Mr. McLean that there's nothing in these details that would suggest much more than a caulk joint to keep this whole detail together. In fact, there's nothing to suggest how this would actually be attached to the building at all.
At this point, with these outstanding questions and questioning whether or not the previous conditions were original and how that detailing changed, how the attachment changed. Would the committee find it preferable to
this is from 1937.
Leave it off completely and just recognize this as a an unfortunate modification that happened? Or is this something that we should consider to, you know, how this is going to be repaired?
That's 1937, Stu.
Yeah, I think that's old enough for
that's
me.
That's the oldest picture.
Yeah,
and that
so,
was what Joey said. That was
this the one that they
so it establishes that this is an unusual detail for this building type. And so, I mean, again, I think that you're kind of getting to the point where you have a proposal that is looking right now we're to the point where we want to think about the materiality and detailing of it. So, committee. Any final comments before we go to a motion? And is this something that will be reviewed by the commission, or is this simply a staff or a committee level approval? Okay.
I have a motion. I can make
please.
A motion.
Yeah, motion in the matter of 1008 Dauphine.
Yeah, in the matter of 1008 Dauphine, I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant an opportunity to revise the proposal based on today's discussion and to also have the opportunity to work with staff on a mock-up of the detail if staff thinks that would be helpful.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
Seconded.
Motion's been seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thank you. Please work with the staff. I think we've had a good discussion today. It seems that we are moving towards a solution which meets the proportion and dimensional requirements. I think we need to work on materiality and actual construction of the detail.
I think I see what you're saying is getting rid of the stucco and the attachment and the depth and the thickness of the material up there. I think that's what you're referring to. With the dimensional lumber, bringing it out a little further from the face of the stucco, and then making sure it's attached properly to the wall so we don't have any issues.
Is there a recommendation on how far off the wall is typical, or does it separate? Does really
well, you know, we have an untypical situation, and if I was looking at this and thinking of 3/4 projecting beyond the face of the stucco, that may be adequate, but I also think that it needs to be bedded into the wall in order to give a, you know, a kind of a sound attachment to the building. So in other words, thicker material, but with the profile probably as it's shown in your mock-up.
For mock-up purposes, do we have to embed it, or could we?
No, I think we have a detail that shows.
Yeah, show us the detail.
Okay, I got you. Sure. Okay,
thank you. That brings us to the end of the agenda for the April 25th meeting of the Architecture Committee. The next meeting is Tuesday, May 8th?
9th.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Second for the motion?
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.